right. I've been thinking about this phrase that keeps coming up, build once, sell many times. It sounds almost too good to be true. What's actually behind it?
It's real, but it comes with a catch. The key idea is zero marginal cost. Once a digital product exists, an ebook, a template, an online course, you can deliver it again and again without manufacturing anything new. No packaging, no inventory, no shipping.
So the economics are fundamentally different from a physical product.
Exactly. Think of a Canva resume template. You build it once. The 100th buyer costs you nothing extra to serve. That's the engine. But here's where people get tripped up. Zero marginal cost on delivery doesn't mean zero cost overall.
Right, because you still have to get people to find the thing.
Marketing, platform fees, payment processing, refunds, customer support questions at 2 in the morning. Those costs are real. So the honest framing is, digital products have a structural advantage, but they only become income when the margin survives all of that.
Okay, so what kinds of products are we actually talking about? For someone just starting out, what's on the menu?
The practical list includes templates, ebooks, online courses, stock assets like photos or audio, software tools, paid newsletters, and communities. Each one has a different effort to revenue profile. Templates are fast to build. Courses take longer, but can command higher prices. Software has the highest ceiling and the highest complexity.
Mm-hmm. And the market for all of this is genuinely large?
Adobe Analytics tracked US digital commerce is not a niche. And because delivery only requires internet access, a creator can reach buyers internationally without physical shipping infrastructure.
Wait, so what's the actual math if someone prices a product at, say, $49?
Simple unit economics. To reach $10,000 in gross revenue before fees, that product needs roughly 205 sales. 49 times 205 is just over 10,000. Now subtract platform fees, payment processing, maybe some ad spend, and the net is lower. That's why pricing and cost structure matter from day one.
So not X copies sold, but Y dollars actually kept. The gap between gross and net is where a lot of beginners get surprised.
That's the pressure point. And it connects to a counterintuitive idea. A lower-priced product can sometimes make less money than a higher-priced one, even with more buyers. If a $10 product needs 1,000 sales to match what a $99 product does in 100 sales, the support and acquisition costs on 1,000 transactions can eat the margin entirely.
So the build once, sell many times promise breaks down if the product doesn't solve a real problem for a real buyer.
That's the trap. A viable digital product has to solve a specific customer problem, not just package information. For example, a generic productivity tips ebook competes with free blog posts, but a template that automates a freelancer's client invoice process, that solves a painful specific problem. The buyer knows exactly why they need it.
All right, so how does someone know there's real demand before they spend weeks building?
Pre-orders, email signups, paid discovery calls, keyword demand in search tools, and repeated questions inside niche communities. If the same question keeps appearing in a forum or a subreddit, that's a demand signal. Marketplace reviews on platforms like Etsy or Udemy also show what buyers are already paying for.
And which sales channel fits which product type? Because that seems like a decision people agonize over.
The match matters. Gumroad works well for creator-led products where the audience already trusts the creator. Etsy is strong for searchable templates. Buyers browse with intent. Udemy and Skillshare suit courses because the marketplace brings the traffic. And newsletter funnels work when the creator has an engaged audience they've already built. The channel should fit where the buyer already looks.
Now, the key idea for pricing. How should someone set that first number?
Start with a pricing ladder. A low-cost template, maybe $9 to $29, lowers the barrier to a first sale and builds reviews. That same buyer can later move up to a premium course or toolkit, and eventually, recurring income through a membership or software subscription. The ladder lets a creator test demand cheaply before investing in the higher effort products.
So what's the actual 7-day test someone could run to find out if an idea is worth pursuing?
One buyer persona. One painful problem. One minimum viable product. Could be a single-page PDF or a short video. One sales page, even a simple one. And one success metric. A target conversion rate. A number of email signups or a pre-order count. If the signal clears that threshold in 7 days, keep building. If it doesn't, pivot before the real investment happens.
That's a clean framework. Pick one, test one, measure one.
And remember, the goal isn't a perfect product on day one. The goal is evidence that a real buyer will pay real money for a real solution. That evidence is what turns a digital product idea into an income engine. Everything else is iteration.
So what happens after that 7-day test? Say someone gets the signal, a few pre-orders, some email signups. What should they actually measure once the product is live?
Now the metrics shift. Sales volume matters, but it's not the only number. Conversion rate tells you whether the sales page is doing its job. Refund rate tells you whether the product delivered on its promise. And customer acquisition cost tells you whether the margin survives.
So not just did it sell, but did it sell profitably, and did buyers stay happy?
Exactly. And support requests are a hidden signal. If the same question keeps coming in after purchase, that's a product gap, something the product didn't explain clearly enough. Fix that, and refunds drop. Testimonials and repeat purchases are the positive version of that same feedback loop.
Mm-hmm. What about the intellectual property side? Because someone listening might wonder, once they build this thing, how do they protect it?
Digital products are commonly protected through copyright, trademarks, and patents, depending on the product and jurisdiction. For most creators, copyright is the relevant one. The U.S. Copyright Office identifies computer programs, databases, websites, and other online content as types of digital content that can be registered.
And does registration actually matter? Or is it just a formality?
It matters practically. For us works, copyright registration is generally required before filing an infringement lawsuit. So if someone copies and sells a creator's template without permission, registration is what gives them legal standing to act. The Copyright Office also permits electronic deposits for works published in electronic formats, ebooks released solely as downloads, for example.
That's a step most beginners probably skip entirely.
Most do. And the scale of IP-intensive industries shows why it's worth taking seriously. In 2024, those industries contributed roughly $5.9 trillion, about 33% of US private sector GDP. Workers in those industries earned about $1,600 a week on average, roughly 45% more than workers in other industries. Digital products sit inside that ecosystem.
Wait, so protecting the product isn't just a legal technicality. It's part of what makes the asset valuable long-term.
That's the right frame. An unprotected digital product can be copied and undercut. A registered, protected one is a durable asset. That's what separates a one-time sale from a real income engine.
Now, one thing I want to push on, the survival rate question. Because not every digital product business makes it. What does the data actually say about that?
The Bureau of Labor Statistics tracked U.S. business establishments born in 2013. And 34.7% were still operating 10 years later, in 2023. An earlier study found the information industry's survival rate was even lower. 38% of establishments born in 1998 were still operating just 4 years later. Digital products don't exempt a creator from those pressures.
So the structural advantage of zero marginal cost doesn't guarantee survival. The business fundamentals still apply.
The zero marginal cost advantage lowers the floor on risk, but it doesn't raise the ceiling automatically. A creator still needs a real buyer, a real problem, and a margin that survives acquisition and support costs. The advantage is that the cost of failure is lower than with a physical product. No unsold inventory, no warehouse lease.
So the key idea is that digital products compress the cost of experimentation, not the need for it.
Well put. And that's why the pricing ladder matters so much. Starting with a low-cost template, say $9 to $29, means a creator can test demand, collect reviews, and learn what buyers actually want before investing months into a premium course or a software tool. The ladder is a risk management structure as much as a revenue structure.
For someone just starting out, what's the one thing they should walk away with from everything we've covered?
The income engine only runs when three things align. A specific buyer with a painful problem, a product that solves it clearly, and a margin that survives the real costs, platform fees, acquisition, support, and refunds. Get those three right, and the build once, sell many times model is genuinely powerful. Miss any one of them, and the math breaks down before the first 100 sales.
So the action for our listener is concrete. Pick one buyer, define one painful problem, build one minimum viable product, test one sales page, and measure one number in 7 days.
One of each, not five ideas running in parallel. The creators who turn digital products into real income are the ones who go narrow first, prove the signal, and then scale. That's the engine. Everything else is noise until the signal is clear.
So to bring it all together, what's the clearest way to frame what we've covered for someone like N, who's weighing whether to actually start?
Think of it as three locks that all have to open at once. A specific buyer with a painful problem, a product that solves it clearly, and a margin that survives platform fees, acquisition costs, support, and refunds. All three, or the engine stalls.
And the zero marginal cost advantage. That's real, but it's not a free pass.
Right. It lowers the floor on risk. No unsold inventory, no warehouse. But it doesn't raise the ceiling automatically. The business fundamentals still apply. That BLS data is sobering. Only 34.7% of US business establishments born in 2013 were still operating 10 years later.
So digital products compress the cost of experimentation, not the need for it.
Exactly. And that's why the pricing ladder is a risk management tool as much as a revenue tool. Start with a low-cost template, $9 to $29, collect reviews, learn what buyers actually want, then build the premium course or software. The ladder sequences the risk.
For someone ready to move, what's the concrete action?
One buyer, one painful problem, one minimum viable product, one sales page, one success metric. Run that for 7 days. If the signal clears, pre-orders, sign-ups, a conversion rate that holds, keep building. If it doesn't, pivot before the real investment happens.
And the takeaway for everyone listening is that the build once, sell many times promise is real, but only when those three locks align.
That's it. Narrow first, prove the signal, then scale. The creators who turn digital products into genuine income are the ones who treat the first product as evidence gathering, not a finished business. Get the signal right, and the engine runs. Miss it, and no amount of clever marketing fixes a product that doesn't solve a real problem.